We're live. Hey, everyone. Welcome to another Great Minds Drink Alike podcast, where I invite brilliant people, entrepreneurs, marketers, all around cool people to join me in a universal quest to become the best version of ourselves and do it while having a drink.
So Ray Villafane, and how many people know who Ray Villafane is? Okay. All right. Cool. Look at that. All right. So Ray... I'll just give you a read really quick, has made multiple appearances on TV, winning the Food Network's Outrageous Pumpkins Challenge and Halloween Wars. His pumpkins have been featured in Reader's Digest, The Today Show, People Magazine, Star Magazine, Men's Health, Wall Street Journal, and countless other newspapers and media. And Ray has been a favorite of mine since I saw him originally on Halloween Wars. I feel though that I've really got a great honor to meet him and Tammy, his beautiful and amazing wife. They're just beautiful people. And I think Ray, his art is unbelievable, but I think he's got a lot more to share with the world. So real quick though, I want to play a video just to give you some little background on Ray.
I always love to do things that have never been done before. To push the boundaries, push the limits. I'm not the first person to carve pumpkins, but I think I was the first person to push the limits with pumpkins. I'm not the first person to do scarecrows, but I will grow the world of scarecrows. I really try to capture character. Once I work out a clay maquette, then I go in the fun part, collecting materials. When I go do my runs or hikes, it's a magical time. There's inspiration to be had everywhere. When I'm standing on a mountain or seeing something big, I don't feel insignificant, I feel the opposite. I feel powerful, energized, alive. It's like a toy box out there. Whether I'm just playing with stones or sticks, you can make anything out of anything. And when you start to apply that type of thinking to other aspects of your life, it's fun. Having my work highlighted in the New York Botanical Gardens has always been one of the highlights of the season annually. You don't get on a bigger stage than that in New York City. We're daring greatly in the Bronx because we're doing things that have never been done with scarecrows before.
Welcome, Ray Villafane. This is Halloween, this is Halloween. Pumpkins breathe in the air of night. This is Halloween, everybody make a scene. Trick or treat, tell the neighbors how to die. It's your job, everybody's worried.
You know, it's funny, like he said he's not that into Halloween, which is not, like, you know, but that is like, you know, that's kind of what made you famous, right? That is kind of crazy.
I think what made me famous is that I'm so into what I do. And obviously, some of those things align with Halloween, but
you just love your art.
Yeah, I love being engaged and creating.
Yeah, yeah. So, tell everybody how you got started. You were a school teacher. Talk about that a little bit.
I was a K-12 art teacher. I had carved pumpkins with the kids a little bit, but I had met my wife Tammy, and she said, "You know what? You're incredibly talented. You should be doing more." And I loved what I was doing teaching, but there was a truth to a little bit of a fear of diving into a career that just like there was no like steadiness like in a teacher. But I just started. I said, you know what? I'm going to start sculpting. And then within a year, I was working for Marvel, DC Comics, World of Warcraft. I just immediately started getting jobs. So then 2 years later, I resigned. Did commercial sculpting, and then the pumpkins started getting way better. And then Food Network saw them and wanted to try to do a show around them. Asked if I could find people because they didn't know anyone to carve, you know. And it just snowballed from there.
Yeah.
And then I just started to. I love the carving so much that I started to pursue. I started to realize that I don't need to like, you know, I went from teaching to going into commercial sculpting, but commercial sculpting, there was someone hiring me, you know? But then I really took the big leap into just doing what I love and creating the people to hire me. So that was a...
Yeah, because we were talking at dinner last night, and you know, when you first started carving pumpkins, you were like, when someone asked you to do it, you charged them $25, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And you're like, I don't know what to ask.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like,
carved pumpkin, man. It's going to rot in a couple days.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. So $25. And now he gets paid, if you don't mind me saying, he gets paid $180,000, $200,000 to put together like a Halloween scene with the carvings and so forth, right? And applaud that, see?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's worth it. He's absolutely worth it. But I think the thing that's really cool about it, like you were saying last night, is there's like a fear of like you do something and you're like, I don't know. It's like us, you know, as entrepreneurs, like, well, I don't know. What would I sell this thing for? And someone buys it. And then you go, well, how much more would they pay? And then, you know what I mean?
You gotta like digging into that area if it's never been done. Like for me, at least, it hadn't been done before, was a scary thing. But when you're doing something that you love that's aligned with you, it's easier, the whole process is easier. Because even overcoming all of the setbacks or fears and everything, if you're aligned with it, then that's actually what feeds you. That's actually the fun. It's not fun when you're really up close to it, but when you reflect back on it, you realize that was the fun part. That was the fun part, and it's how I make art. It's how any of us create. You know, whether you're creating your clientele or anything, like going into those spaces where you're a little bit uneasy or don't know, or you know, that's where all the gold is at.
It's like creativity. Yeah. I mean, we were talking last night, and the way that you approach carving a pumpkin is the same way I approach writing a sales letter. It's the same way you guys approach a project for your clients, right? It's stepping into a little bit of the unknown. There's a creative process to it. It's not even knowing exactly, like when I write a sales letter, I have an intention, like you said, you have an intention, but you're kind of figuring it out as you go, right?
Yeah, it's just this big white space, and then you get obstacles, and they fuel you, and for me, it's like, it's like we talk about, like, setting intentions is important, because if I try to hammer away at something, a problem too much with thinking, it just ruins it. That's when you could find things like anxiety and just doubt and all that stuff will creep in. But it's this kind of, I set an intention and then I quiet down. And then I do things that'll quiet my mind down. And then that allows me to hear the inspiration, hear what like sort of my inner part that doesn't have all the clutter of that talking says, no, here, you should be doing that. And then usually that should be doing that has a little bit of fear, but I know I could tell that that's the fear that I'm meant to overcome. It's not like, sometimes. I mean, it's hard for some people in a wrong field altogether, and then they're just trying to hammer away at stuff that's really not meant for them.
They're not passionate
about it. Yeah, passion is huge. Like, if you're not passionate about something, you're really not going to grow in a way that's going to be rewarding.
Right, right. Yeah. So you talk about quieting your mind. I know one of the things, is this a recent thing, the stacking rocks?
Last like 4 years, maybe.
Okay, so... Yeah. Austin, can you show, so this is an example. Now, just so people know, you're not using glue.
No. Yeah.
So that is, like, where is that?
In Sedona. Tam and I went, we go hiking a lot, and she's reading a book by the water, and I just play with the rocks.
Okay. So, yeah. And then this appears, right? You know what I mean? Like, do you ever just look up from your book and go, oh, my God. Like, you know what I mean? Like, just like, what are you doing? But so those are all, there's no glue. You're not hammering away flat spots. You're just taking.
Anyone could do that. Right? Not really. Like if we put like a 10-inch stripe on this floor, you could walk it. I wouldn't have to teach you how to walk it. But if that 10-inch stripe were a mile in the sky and there was no wind, you still know how to walk it, but I then would have to teach you to quiet your mind. because you're the talk would induce chemical reactions that would make you shake, and you would invite yourself falling in the same way as that. When 4 years ago when I started rock balancing, I didn't acquire anything other than relaxing. Just that's the only thing. I know how gravity feels. Everyone knows how gravity feels. So it's like this, you quiet down, and I really think that's a big part of my artistic process as well, and it's a part of almost every process when I really truly think about it. Like when I'm doing a piece of artwork and I'm getting to a point where I'm questioning something, it always comes down to like there's an amount of talking that's going on in my mind, and it's never conducive to doing what I want done. And when I quiet down and I realize, the obvious hits me, and I feel that there's a huge benefit in making sure that you spend a good portion of your day quieting down so that you could allow
the creative process to just happen, right? Yeah.
Because if you've already asked for something and you've put intentions that you really want something, if you're too busy hammering and trying to figure it out, you're never going to allow that answer to occur to you, because you're not really, you don't wrench away. I don't wrench away at my artwork. I don't wrench away at that. Ideas slip into my mind. They occur to me. They happen to me. And they only happen when you could set that intention and then quiet down. Now, obviously, that doesn't mean that there's work to be done. That's true. But on those areas where you want to break through stuff and get to that next level, I highly recommend making sure that you spend time quieting yourself.
Yeah, let me show a couple more. So there's that one. Now is that in front of your house?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's like, has everyone ever come over and just like wanted to push it and then you want to shoot them? Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, yeah. You get like,
Let me see. Let's show another one. I think there's a couple. And that's in your house, right?
Yeah, it's in my living room.
Okay.
Yeah. I got like a pile of rocks in my living room.
Okay. So that's another angle. So like, look at that. That's not glued, right? That is not.
No, yeah.
Didn't one of your sons have a friend come in and?
Yeah, Tam actually knocks most of them over, but they stay up. I mean, that one's up right now still, and it's been like it's probably been about 5 months. It's on a slab cement floor, so it's pretty stable. And that stump is huge, and there's probably about a wheelbarrow and a half of stones all around it. So I love making stuff with natural materials. I feel like I feel like it brings a witch out in me, like a witch doctor, or like I just feel like witchcraft when I do stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so I like a lot of my art. I like playing with nature.
Yeah. That brings me another question. Like, because last night you were saying natural material, it's not like clay. You don't like working with clay. Clay will do what you force it to do. Mm-hmm. When you have natural material, you have to interact with it. You can't entirely force your will.
Yeah.
On it, right?
So that's a huge part. Yes. So with clay is something like it's just so basic. I mean, I love clay. I do love clay. But someone asked about like my interaction with different materials and how much do you see something in it or whatever. So clay is really easy to move it how you want. But when you're working with a natural material, whether it be a pumpkin and it's got a certain, you're starting off and it's already a certain shape and different density or whatnot, or any sort of natural materials, even the rocks, you know, certain shapes, you're able, so it's a relationship between you and the material. And it's also a relationship with me and clay and stuff. But one of the things I love about natural materials, like with the scarecrows, is that Mother Nature is the best creator. So like when I go and I set an intention that I want to find and construct a scarecrow hand, I'll find fingers in the woods that I wouldn't be able to sculpt the awesome shapes of it. They're like, wow.
Yeah.
And it was like Mother Nature and I collaborated on something. And so I love that aspect of being surprised and just you know, like just the details it can get in the branches and stuff like that are just,
yeah. It's, well, and, you know, and I, the way I translate this is as business owners, you know, we aren't given, like, the employees that come to us, the vendors that come to us, the marketplace that comes to us, the economy that we're dealing with, these are like natural forces that we can't change entirely. We can influence, we can impact, but we can't. And there's a creative process of being able to create art by collaborating with that rather than fighting it or just saying, well, shit, I can't. Yeah. It all sucks.
Yeah.
Do you know? Because we were like last night at dinner, we're sitting there and he's like, I could take the stuff left over on this table and I could create something from it. Things that people would throw away, things that you would just think, oh, that's a dirty dish. There's stain on the tablecloth. You would look at it and go, what could I create from this? Rather than lament about not having the materials that you
Absolutely.
Want. Right.
Like having a optimistic, like I lean naturally really heavy into an optimistic, playful spirit I have. So like I'll see something and I'll immediately arrange it into something playful and fun. And that could be objects, it could be circumstances. Like I'm funny, I can make a joke just by realizing, oh, you're that and this and that. So I make this, I arrange a story that's funny. And the opportunity to do that only happens when you start to search for and lean into that optimism. So it's really important in my art or in any of that as in life to really see what you have so that you could start the process of turning that into something more. Because if you are someone that turns stuff into something more, then it should be no problem. If you are someone that needs something to turn something into, you're not yet someone who could turn something into something more. You're waiting for something to come that, you know, whether it be, you know, we were at dinner, I was like, oh, you know, if I can make something with this table, or I could say, oh, I need this materials or that materials, and it's so...
It's never enough.
Yeah.
Like, you're forever in this mindset of, I always need something to create, and learning how to be creative with what you've got is where the real production, you're using it for art, we use it in business. But I think that's a really valuable lesson, because I think as human beings tend to focus on what we don't have instead of saying, what do I have and how do I put it together?
Yeah, we get so far, again, we get this talking in our head, so far ahead of where we want to be, and we don't want to start until we have the ingredients that can get us there easier, you know, when really you realize that even when you get those ingredients, you're going to have to do what you need to do right now with these ingredients, because it's like you need to vibrationally become that creator, or you need to take those steps, because if you're waiting for those things to come, you're just not that person just yet, you know, and there's no ingredients. You'll immediately find yourself in the same place, because, you know, I always say, like, I honestly, I love creating, and I say, like, sometimes nothing ever changes, because I get as just happy as about something I made, you know, 10 years ago in that moment as I do today. And while the gap changes, you know, and even like a big job, it's like, whoa, the fulfillment of creating something that you love and that you're passionate about, it doesn't get any, it's like, at least for me, it doesn't get any higher than that. You know, it's like I recently applied to orbit, go on to SpaceX to go around the moon. And I didn't make it. I made it to the third phase. But during that time, I ended up birthing the... So what it was is they were going to send people around the moon. I don't know if anyone is familiar with this, but they sent people around the moon, artists, this Japanese billionaire sent 8 artists around the moon to get inspired, come back and make something and share with the world. So as I was thinking about what it is that I would make, I realized an idea that to me was more satisfying than going around the moon. I'm like, fuck, yeah. I'll do that now. I don't need to go around the moon. So that aspect of just of being able to work with what you have so that you could just begin to do what you want to do is really huge.
Let's fall in love with the process right now.
Yes, process is so important.
Not where you need to be or where you should be, and that's all that mind chatter that you're talking about, right?
Process is everything.
Fall in love with the process.
Process is everything. I end up savoring, like when I look back at my life at what got me here, I end up looking back at the hardest times and want to brag about how awesome it was. I mean, when I was in those, sometimes it was like, ah, shit, I need this, you know, whatever. But when I really think about it, I have to go back to those times in order to express how fun it was. Because it is this process of taking what you have, taking that adversity, working with it and building something. And having that is so key, you know.
Right.
You know, last year I was at Robin's house and her husband Dan wanted a skull, and I tried to carve a skull in the middle of the night and it didn't work out so well. But I ended up making a skull for her husband out of clay, and it's really cool.
It was the Widowmaker, and it's part of the 101st Airborne. It's like their symbol, and it's a skull with a parachute. So
yeah. But what I have here.
Oh, wow. Oh my God, that is so funny. Oh, check that out.
So
that is amazing.
To do a pumpkin.
Yeah, turn it that way. So. I thought you were going to give me the new Widowmaker thing. Oh, wow, that is so cool. Well, thank you for that.
You're
All right.